Welcome to Behind the Pod, a series of interviews and meta discussions about Podfic and Podfic fandom.
This is episode one of the first series of Behind the Pod, in which Bessie Boo and Rena Jenkins interview each other about their longtime friendship and history of collaborations, their evolving creative styles, and reflect on significant Podfic projects and the Podfic fandom community and the way it's changed around them.
Hi, I'm Bess, aka Bessie Boo.
And I'm Marissa, Rena Jenkins.
And this is Behind the Pod. So, I don't think it's conceited to say that, like, a large number of people in the podficking community are familiar with both of us.
I mean, if you just keep shoving content out there and don't stop, eventually somebody will notice that you're out there. Just pile it on top of each other.
But what people may or may not know is that actually Marissa and I were each other's first friends that we both made when we got into podficking fandom in 2010. We looked for the LiveJournal post the other day. Did we find a date on it?
January 10th, 2011 is when you posted the cover art.
Yeah.
And I think it was three or five days prior to that we were interacting on the comments of the post.
Yeah. So it was like January of 2011. We both got into podficking around the same time in like spring of 2010 and both started posting podfic in fall of 2010. But yeah, we both started kind of interacting with each other. I offered to make cover art for her at the beginning of January 2011 for a...
It was needed.
Yeah.
It was needed.
Well, I think you just didn't even post cover art back then.
I really didn't. I was using the art someone else drew for Decimation, which was
a Femme Kirk Star Trek reboot story. But that was after I'd already started making cover art for you. I'd already made cover art for you for several stories. So.
Yeah. But that one in particular just stands out as like, I just randomly put letters on this word. Like the letters didn't make any sort of sense for the eye. And you're like, no, let me fix this, please.
Well, I think that's the first cover art that you ever made for Podfic, right?
Yeah, that one. And then it was like another 4 years later before I was like, oh, maybe I guess I can use art that I did. And by art that I did, we really mean let's layer seven different versions of someone's face on top of each other. Transparent layers was a trend for me.
Yep.
It was a trend.
You've learned.
I've learned something.
Yep.
Something.
But back in January of 2010, I made cover art for her for this SGA Supernatural crossover, which I feel like just like the fact that that's a sentence I just said really dates when we met each other.
It really is such a glorious... I'm glad that it was something that was like a kind of a hallmark of where we were in fandom at that time.
Yeah, exactly. So we became friends then, and so we've known each other for like almost 9 years now. Which is
genius.
Crazy.
Which is just terrifying. I think I mentioned this to maybe to KLB. I mentioned it to somebody that like I had my 9th podfic anniversary this past August. And just as like a personal accomplishment of this is a hobby or this is a thing that I have stuck with. I have very strong tendencies of like, this is cool. Do it for a month. Never touch it again. Whereas Podfic has been a very consistent way to create and consume for me for basically a decade now.
Yeah.
Just like, I stuck with this thing. I have grown as a person. I have met amazing people. But like also, I have a longevity. I stuck with the thing. I continued to do the thing.
You did. And it's amazing. And that's like a great segue actually into, so we're going to go back and forth and just like ask each other a few questions. And, you know, I think this should be interesting because we know each other really well. So I think it should be interesting to see, what we know about to ask each other. But, you know, one of the questions that I definitely wanted to ask you was,
okay,
how do you feel like your podficking like your process, your product, et cetera, has changed over time now that you've been doing it for almost a decade, like especially as one of the most like prolific and well-known podfickers out there. Like, how do you think your stuff has changed?
I mean, I definitely, like, in terms of like actual physical setup or in terms of like how I'm pushing stuff out there without like
both, any of it. Just like, how do you feel like your podficking experience has changed now compared to like around the time we met each other almost a decade ago?
Oh geez. I mean, I think the most notable thing is that I almost primarily record off of blanket permission authors' works. Like, mm-hmm. when I first started, I mean, I had like this letter template and I was going to send it in a LiveJournal comment, or I was going to send in a personal message, and I was going to be like, here's my three paragraphs about why I really love this work. And like, let me explain to you why I think it would be such a great honor for me to record your work. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to do the thing. Like, it feels weird to ask permission now. And there are stories that I really enjoy that, like, if I got off my ass, I could ask permission for it. And it's like, definitely 10 years later, it's much more common. I don't need the four paragraphs explaining what podfic is now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that speaks to just like how much the podfic community has developed, because like back then there technically was a blanket permission list, but it didn't even exist on FanLore yet. I think at the time it was
maintained in the comments on the Amplificathon post.
Yeah. There was an Amplificathon post with comments, and then Paraka had a LiveJournal post that she updated.
Yeah.
And that was like it. And so and it has grown just like exponentially since then. And I think too, the fact that you don't have to explain what podfic is, that really resonates with me, because that was such a thing back in the early days.
Right. No, I dug up my template that I've been using basically for the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes the paragraph, I enjoyed this story so much, I'd like to podfic it. An audio recording of a fanfic. I promise not to deliberately mispronounce anything, and I'll link back to this work when the podfic is done. You can check out, and then once I moved to AO3, I added, you can check out some of my other podfics at my AO3 page if you're curious. But, like, having to explain what your work was before you could go on to do it, I don't know. I think also a thing that's in my style of recording, mm-hmm. has been that I've slowed down.
Interesting.
The first, like, 3 years of recording, like, every time there was, like, a scene break, you know, where significant time is passing between this paragraph and the next paragraph, I would just keep going. There are, like, if I were to re-record certain things, they'd be at least 5 minutes longer simply for having put scene breaks in.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, like, just my speech speed has slowed down some.
Mm-hmm.
I talk slower while recording than I did when I first started. It was very much a have to get everything, it felt very have to get everything out, you know?
Right.
And listening back to it, kind of want to shake myself a little bit and be like, look, you can breathe. It's cool. The listener will understand if you take a second to inhale. But yeah, like, stories that were 10K that I recorded in 2012 versus stories that are 10K that I recorded in 2018 have a significant difference in length just from my speed, because I think I'm more comfortable with like taking a minute to think about what I'm saying rather than, this is the text, it must be projected. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that. And as somebody who's, I was thinking about this question because, like, as somebody who's been baiting your work for, like, almost that long, like, it's really interesting to, I relatively recently went back and re-listened to the first thing, the first, like, multi-voice thing that we ever collaborated on, which was that Buffy World
the
War
Buffy
Z.
The Buffy World Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeterminate Place UK.
Yes, that's
Check
it.
Check it out.
Yes. And it's really interesting just to hear how different we both sound. Like,
yeah.
Like, I listen to it and I'm like, I can see, first of all, I'm like, oh my God, we're such babies. Like, I was like, I must have been like 21. And I think you're like a year older than me, right? Like, you were like 20, yeah. 22 or so.
I was like 20, yeah, 23. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, like, so first of all, I'm like, oh my God, we were such babies. But like, also, like, it's really interesting just to hear how different our voices sound, like, and how different our podficking voices sound.
Yeah. As far as like finding a style of reading and recording that works really well,
mm-hmm.
I think I've settled into my voice more too.
Yeah.
You can also, like, whether it's speed or just like sheer word vomit, like, yeah, topics that I wasn't totally comfortable with, you can tell because I sped up to get through those.
I remember the first podfic with porn in it that you ever posted. And like, you were like so fast. You were like, oh my God, I gotta get through these sections. Like,
you have to, yeah. And I think that's something that I have grown as a person. I can talk about this. Words. I can say a lot of words.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
Speaking of things that, like, re-listen to and whether they stuck with you, mm-hmm. what is one of, like, the podfic emotion kind of combo that sticks with you? Something that, like, you think back and you're like, oh, okay, this is, like, the very specific mood or the very specific emotional context that goes with something that you've either recorded or listened to. Let's make it real open.
Just, like, an emotion that you think that I associate with, like, a specific podfic?
Or, like, having recorded it, and then you go back to it, and you're like, okay, this puts me back in the same headspace that I was in, or something like that.
Interesting. Well, I definitely never re-listened to... You remember that one that we... The first thing that... It might be the only thing, actually, that you and I accidentally repotted of each other.
Oh, Chain of Flowers?
Yeah, Chain of Flowers.
Okay.
Which is a short Harley Quinn podfic. And I recorded that one the day that my cat died.
Okay.
It's a very dark podfic, and it felt very emotionally cathartic to record it at the time, and I super never re-listened to it.
Oh, jeez. There's a...
Yeah, but, like, I think... Is it weird to say that some of my most vivid memories, like talking with you about this, are places, like, very vivid, like, full body, like, sense memories of where I was when I was beating various podfics of yours? Because,
yes!
Like, so, like, going back to, like, man, we were babies. Like, I still remember, like, where I was at sweeping the floor in the Pure One Imports that I worked at when I was first listening.
Oh my God.
When I was first listening to the, like, beta cut of Indeterminate Place UK, or, like, when I was in the stock room at that same Pure One when I was beta-ing. I still remember. Okay, so... When I was it's about to be the thing that you think it is. Yeah. So the first really long thing that Marissa ever did that I baited was her first, we participated in the first podfic Big Bang, and she recorded How Not to Fly, which is an SGA podfic that's about 8 hours long.
Which is still not on the AO3 yet.
Marissa!
I have not cross-posted it.
I uploaded the cover art for that at the time on AO3. You're terrible.
I was doing my stats. I have 437 podfics that need to be cross-posted to the AO3.
Jesus Christ. So I was baiting her entire Big Bang. Did I bait a 2 Big Bangs for you that year?
Yeah, because it was weddings, plural, and a yak,
yes,
as well.
Yes. So I beta'd and cover arted 2 separate Big Bangs, one of which involved 2 covers, because there was, like, extra sequel stories.
There was snippets, yeah.
Yeah.
Side stories.
And so I was baiting How Not to Fly, and I remember standing there, and it was, like, fall, I think. It was either fall or spring, because I remember the temperature. And, like, the door was, like, propped open, and I was, like, had my little box cutter, and I was, like, opening... I was opening up like boxes of candles and stuff. And I remember pausing because we got to a part in the story where the way that I used to beta back then is I still had a working iPod Classic then. So I put all of my podfic on my iPod Classic. And then on my phone, I would pause and start on my listening on my iPod Classic. And on my phone, I would record voice notes for Marissa.
Which has actually inspired how I do feedback and beta notes as well.
Yeah.
So, like, you started a trend there.
Yeah, yeah. And so I would record voice notes for her because that was just, like, the easiest way for me to do it while I was doing things. And so I would just, I would listen and then I would pause and look at the timestamp that I paused at and then say, like, timestamp, whatever, whatever, whatever. Like, you've got background noise here or you mispronounced this. But I got to this point where I was unpacking boxes in the stockroom at my job, and Marissa and I had an argument about the correct pronunciation of clitoris or clitoris. And I paused, and I wasn't quite sure in the middle of the stockroom at my job if I could record a voice note that said timestamp whatever, like 4:23:18. Check your pronunciation of clitoris.
We went back and forth on this too.
Yeah,
it shows up like three times in the entire fic because neither John nor Rodney have one in this story.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't even an in like yes.
Yeah. And so we went back and forth on this, but when I was recording the initial note, beta note via voice notes, I had to like pause and like take a bathroom break so I could like record this voice note so I wasn't shouting like clitoris into my phone in the middle of the stockroom at my job.
That's amazing.
Even like last year when I was betaing
Gambit?
Queen's Gambit, yeah. And I still have this vivid memory of walking around the state fair in the Minnesota State Fair in the evening by myself, just listening to and betaing like the first few chapters of Queen's Gambit. So a lot of my like emotional like sense memories of podfic stuff are actually a lot of like when I was baiting podfics for you. I just like remember a lot of those. So
I feel very proud of myself for that. Don't know if it's something I should be, but I do.
Yeah. So here's a question that I feel like a ton of people want to know, and I know you're probably not going to have a satisfactory answer for it, but Marissa, how the hell are you so damn prolific?
You just push stuff out there and don't care about it anymore.
No, see, but it's still so much work, though. Like, how do you find time in the day to record all of the things that you record?
Okay, so with Gambit in particular, I made myself a schedule, actually. I was like, I have to do at least 1 hour of finished audio every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. Ended up being 1 hour finished audio every week.
Yeah.
Still managed to get it finished in time. Set high goals and then underperform at a level that's still okay? I don't know. Like, when I was first starting, definitely at least through 2014, I wouldn't post anything until I'd listened through it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really, like, I edit in GarageBand, so you sort of have to know how you talk and catch your own mistakes as you go.
One of the things that I think people should know about part of the reason that Marissa is so prolific is because she does edit as she goes, which significantly speeds up your speed.
Like, when I did, what was it? The one where everybody records, everybody edits the next person's.
Podfic Polygons.
Yes, when I did Podfic Polygons, that was like one of the first times I've really seriously, with the exception of like that the Life with Derek ITBE Podfic that I edited for you.
Oh yeah,
but like that was like the real like editing someone else's work, having to go in and edit a raw piece of audio with the like the blurbs left in and the flubs and stuff like that. And it took such a goddamn long time.
Yeah, it does.
GarageBand has spoiled me. Cause you can see, okay, I just said a word wrong. I'll just cut that out, redo the line, and then when I'm done, I'm done. If I want to go back in and add sound effects, okay, maybe that means I have to listen back through. But even then, if I'm adding voice filters to stuff, I set up my tracks so that I've got everything ready. And I will record, I'll take the extra 2 seconds to record on the, you know, this is the Holocom voice filter. And then I'll just go back to the main track. So when I'm done, I don't touch anything.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I might touch would be to add music, which also talking about things that we've grown as recording artists. I used to put the entire song at the beginning of podcasts.
I know. Because I yelled at you.
And you were like, nope, you got it.
Constantly.
No, you absolutely. You were like, you get 20 seconds,
yep.
30 at the max,
yep.
And then you move on. But like, no, I was dead seriously worried. Like, what if you have your iPod on shuffle? And then the song comes on, and you need time to get over there to shift the track. You need the whole 3 minutes to shift the track. So there's like a good 40 Podfix where I was like, between when I discovered you could put music in and when you were like, no, stop, please, you're hurting my soul. Where it's the entire song for 3.5 to 4 minutes, then the intro, then the podfic.
Yeah.
Which we don't believe in re-records. I'm not going back to fix them.
I remember this as one of the like earliest like beta argument, ongoing beta arguments that we had. And you were like, but it needs the context of it. And I was like, you get 15 seconds.
Anyway, that's like my rule now. It's like when I was doing all the music for Gambit.
Yeah, which I still yelled at you for making some of those too long.
There was 30 whole seconds of Linkin Park.
I know.
Now there's only 15.
I know. I yelled at you about that one specifically. I was like, do we really need this much angsty Linkin Park?
Yes, we do. It's Obi-Wan's inner child. But like, as far as creating goes, once I'm done in GarageBand, it's done. I'll listen back through, like when I was early days, I would listen to it 3 or 4 times to make sure that like, you know, maybe once when I'm going to sleep, maybe once when I'm on the way to like, you know, when I was nannying still, and then I would post it to make sure that I had time to enjoy it first before I shared with anybody. Not even like looking for errors, just because like I wanted to keep it to myself. But now it's in like this sort of weird zone of both post as soon as you're finished and also have a stash.
Yeah, you stash finished podfics like no one else I know. Like, you hoard them up for various things and then dump half of them on me for at ITPE.
Which is helpful. I mean, like, I'm looking at iTunes right now, right? I've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 12 things in the stash right now. So that means if I post one every 3 days, I'm good for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know? I've been recording a lot of shorter stuff recently, which helps build the stash. But like, just in general, I like having that safety zone, which I think helps make it look like I have a regular recording schedule rather than, you know, I did for 6 hours on a weekend and then put it all out at once.
Yeah.
But like, care a little bit less. The thing now about posting it more frequently is that I don't listen through everything 4 times or 5 times before I put it out there. And keep a stash so it looks like you're posting on a regular 3-day schedule.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I like to, like, I get home at 6. I like to have an hour. I do a thing. By the time the hour's done, I've got something done to show for it. And editing in GarageBand really is what helps, because having to listen back through for Puffy Polygons was like, friend, I love you, but why? Goddamn, why do you keep saying things? Now I have to cut them out again.
I mean, why do you think that I do not post podfic the way that you do? It's because I don't edit as I go. And I have to fucking edit my podfic, and audio editing to take out mistakes is the most goddamn tedious thing in the world.
It really is. It really is. It takes 500 years for like a 20-minute thing.
Yep.
It's like you started at 4. It's 7:30. It's dinner time. And you're only just finishing now. Yeah. I do not like.
Yep. Yep.
So I guess, how do you produce a lot of things? Don't do shit.
Yeah. Make everything as easy as possible and build up a stash.
Streamline and stash. Yeah. Tell me about a time you failed out of a project, or what do you do when it's not working for you? Like something outside your comfort zone, or like, I just can't get the words, or like, tell me about something like that.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's been a long enough time that we both probably had at least a couple projects that were like, I was excited, but then it just didn't work, right?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, the actual biggest thing is less that I, like, start to record something and then realize that I, like, can't or whatever. It's actually related to, like, my ADHD and procrastination. So, and okay. because audio editing, when you're not doing edit as you go, does take so long, and I hate doing it so much, and it's so tedious, there are projects that I was, like, really excited about that I, like, made cover art for, because that was the, like, fun part for me. And I never actually, like, got around to recording, or if I did record, it just, like, sits unedited. Honestly, if I'm like, oh, I want to do this, and then, like, but, like, for whatever reason, I, like, put it off or don't do it immediately, it just keeps getting put off until I'm no longer excited about that project, or in another fandom, or someone else posts a podfic of it first, or, you know, like...
I've got stuff that, like, I asked permission for, and just never recorded.
Yeah.
You know? And at this point, it's been 4 years, and I feel bad.
Oh, absolutely. I have so many things like that, where it's like, I asked for permission, and they were like, yeah, totally! And then I was like... Wah, wah, it's been like 6 years. Like, I'm probably never doing that project now.
Yeah, like, I feel bad about starting it, you know? There's something that, like, at the time, I was in Trek Reboot fandom. So this was like, God, it might have been 2012. And I was really stoked about this story. It was going to be my first, like, you know, cracking the 5 hours mark. It was going to be really cool. And then I didn't start it.
Yeah.
And then 3 years happened and I didn't start it. And I have yet to start it.
Yep.
And at this point, I think the delay in starting it is a bigger block than, like, the actual mechanics of recording.
Right.
You know what I
mean? Right. Exactly. Back before repotting was super common, the day that Copper Badge posted Ironsides, if you remember that. Which is a brilliant, like, gender swap, like, Rule 63 Tony Stark fic.
Yes.
That's, like, Steve Tony. And it's from, like classic, like, 2012 era Avengers fandom. And, like, the day that it was posted, X-Man Hater and I both asked for permission to podfic it. And he, like, emailed us both and was like, both of you asked for permission to podfic this, so I'm not really sure what to say. And both of us were basically like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we're cool with both of us doing it. And he was like, great, then that's awesome. And Kes, who I didn't really know Kes at the time, and I am consistently impressed with her because she does, like, edit after the fact and...
And still cranks out massive.
Right. Like, a lot of really long podfics, like, on a really regular basis. And it's, like, so impressive to me. And so she got hers out in, like, 2 weeks. And I was like, there's no way I was finishing it in that period of time. And so, like, I created, like, awesome cover art for it. And then I, like, never... I, like, Kes had posted hers, so I was just kind of like, oh, well, I guess, I don't know. And, like, sometime after that, I, like, completely failed out of MCU fandom. And, like,
yeah.
Now I still really love that fic, but, like, I don't know if I would, like, go back and record it, even though I still love that story, because, like, MCU fandom is, like, so, and also, like, I am very specifically in a place right now where I'm, like, I still love 2012 era MCU fandom, but, like, the MCU as it stands right now, I'm incredibly over.
It's a very different beast now, as far as, like, characterization and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm, like, very, like, anti-MCU and anti-MCU fandom right now, so, like... Even though I still love that fic, like, I don't know if I'd ever go back there because, like, there's so many fandoms that I'm just so much more excited about now.
Yeah.
I only have, and especially since I'm a person who does so many different types of fan works that, like, I only have so much time to devote to, like, individual, like, podfic projects because I also right. have to worry about all of the time that I spend on sewing and cosplay and vidding and modding stuff. And so, like, I only have so much time I can devote to any podfic project. And so, like, once the time is kind of passed on a project and I haven't really started it, it's kind of like, welp, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit about why I've been doing so many short things recently.
Yeah.
I just don't have there are stories I've read that are, you know, 24K and I'm enjoying them. And that would be a good 4 hour project by the time I was done with cover art and everything like that. I can't quite get that oomph that motivation to get started again. And they all just sort of sit in this big pile of like, sure, one day, with the stuff that I never finished, you know?
Yep. Yep. I still have, oh my God. So Lunchy Munchy came and did kind of like a podfic couch surfing tour across America in 2012.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
And she stayed with me for several days and we recorded a bunch of stuff and I still have unedited things from that I recorded with Lunchy in my living room, like, two apartments ago.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, like, for me, an important part these days, part of the reason why I do a lot of, like, challenges and exchanges is that it gives me hard deadlines, which forces me to, like, actually devote the time to finishing stuff.
Right. No, I get that. And it's very, like, it's one thing to talk a big game about, like, oh, yeah, I just love having so much freedom to do whatever. But at the same time, I really do need this sort of someone else is holding you accountable.
Right.
Which I think is part of why you being a beta listener when I was doing those big bangs was so helpful.
Yeah.
Because I knew I had to turn something over and show that stuff had been achieved. Because I can lie to my own self about what my deadline is and just keep pushing it back. But if there's someone else out there.
Right. If it was Sunday morning last year, whatever, and you hadn't sent me a chapter of Gambit yet, I would be like, Marissa, where is it?
Exactly. Exactly. I was thinking about this the other day, right? That I've done a lot of exchanges and like gift exchange stuff like ITPE and like things like Podfic Polygons where you're working with a person, but you're not necessarily... You're working with a person towards a similar goal, but it doesn't have that same community feel as like a big bang.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just been, I was just thinking about this. Like, I don't know if it's that I transitioned off of LiveJournal or if it's that I just haven't found the right niche, but like I cut my teeth on Bandom Big Bang and like SGA Podfic Big Bang, right? And I haven't had that same kind of community experience in a while. And I don't know if it's that because I'm looking in the wrong parts or if I'm just like not utilizing to the fullest extent the exchanges I'm doing right now.
Well, I think part of it is because fandom is just spread out further, especially Podfic fandom, than it ever used to be. Like, you know, us getting into Podfic back in like 2010, right? Like we were kind of there at like the genesis, like I literally was there at like the genesis, it was part of the genesis of Podfic Twitter fandom.
Right. Like, that's why I'm on Twitter now.
Exactly.
Like because you dragged me kicking and streaming.
Like I forced Marissa to sign up for a Twitter so that she could participate in the first ITPE.
Come be my friend. As long as you're not my sister, that's why it's locked.
Yeah. And so back then, like, there were just, like, this kind of goes back to, like, the pluses and minuses of Podfic being such a, like, a newer form of fan work back then, is that everything was really just, like, niche. And so because of that, we were, like, there weren't a ton of us, and so...
You had to cling to everybody?
Right. Well, not just that, but, like, those of us that were there... were very tightly knit and had a very strong community just because there were so few of us that we could have a tightly knit community like that.
Right.
And, you know, almost 10 years on from that, the community, there's so many more podfickers that it's like literally just like not possible to have that kind of close knit community when there's, you know, 10 or 20 times as many people.
Yeah. And I think part of it too in my, I guess this is going back to that first question you asked about how have you changed as a podficker, right? My consumption of podfic has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first started, like, I got in just as Amplificathon 2010 was ending. So there was large amounts of content in a vast array of fandoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was consuming basically, like, if you did the thing and it's at the top of the page, I will put this on my iPod and take it with me, whether or not I'm really in that fandom. And I've noticed that I've gotten a lot more picky about listening to things outside of my, like, current active fandom in the last couple of years.
I used to, when I got into podfic fandom, I very specifically only started out downloading, like, very favorite fics that, like, long fics in fandoms I'd been in that were the type of fics that I, like, read over and over, and I wanted to be able to, like, have a copy of them on my iPod with me, like, wherever I went, so I could, like, listen to them wherever I was.
Mm-hmm.
As I was in podfic fandom longer and longer, I started actually listening to podfics that I hadn't
already read the story,
the original fic story. Yeah. And now, like, I'm almost the opposite. Like, I almost only download podfics of things I haven't read before, because I'm like, oh, I want to just, like, consume more things, right? So if I've already read that, then it's like, well, cross that off the list, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think it's so funny though. Like, I definitely started off listening in multiple fandoms that I had no context for, and it was very much I would trust your voice to read me the phone book. Obviously, this must be good too. And I've gotten much more picky about, like, if I'm actively in Star Wars, I'm only listening to Star Wars, which is, like, a problem because not a lot of people are producing that. I mean, yes, I have a lot of new Star Wars friends. Thank you, Twitter, for being so helpful. But, like, it's not Good Omens. It's not Avengers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, to a certain extent, like, part of it, too, is that, like, I'm sorry, and also I'm not sorry, that I kind of, like, dragged you into corners of Star Wars fandom that are a lot more niche.
No, because
you probably have less trouble if you were still mostly in just, like, the big parts of sequels fandom. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And I dragged you over to the non-sequels and originals.
But, like, I was like a Leia Boba Fett shipper before I realized fandom was a thing.
Yes.
Like, when I was, like, 14, before I realized the internet was more than just, like, askjeeves.com.
Yeah, but also, like, the other thing, too, is that, like, with the way that podfic fandom has grown, you have, even if it's, like, wah, wah, nobody is, there are, like, 5 people producing Clone Wars podfic and, like, 2 of them are us. Like, you know, but, like, even if that's the case, like, podfic fandom has gotten bigger, it is a lot easier for you to be more fandom specific and picky. Like,
yeah.
It used to be that, like, I would get into a fandom and I would just, like, download the entire backlog of every podfic in that fandom that was on the audiofic archive, and then I would listen to it in, like, a week, and then I was like, okay, I have consumed 100% of the podfic in this fandom. You know? Like,
yes.
Unless your fandom is, like, real niche, like, for any big slash fandom, that's, like, just not the case anymore, you know?
I mean, for a brief moment in time, I was the sole producer of Fast and the Furious content, and that was a joy. Very brief moment in time, and now other people are in it too, and it's like, welcome to the club, friend, I'm not alone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's always the case with, like, any fandom things, right?
Yeah, somebody has to kickstart it, drag their friends in.
Yep. Marissa, why don't you tell our listeners about your recording setup? Because when I first got to know you and I first heard what your recording setup is, I think it has progressed over the years, but when I first heard your recording setup is, what your recording setup at the time was, I was, like, aghast. I could not believe that was how you actually recorded.
So when I first started recording, I used to record on the living room couch, and we had an L-shaped couch, like a sectional. And what I would do is I'd prop my laptop in the corner, and then I'd make a second wall out of another pillow. And then I had, like, look, this is my little box, and I'm laying on my stomach, and I'm recording.
You recorded into a MacBook internal microphone, an ancient MacBook internal microphone, I will add.
Yeah, that laptop was from 2006.
Right, while laying on your stomach, which was wild to me.
Yes, and then since then, I have bought a USB mic. I got it as a birthday gift in, like, 2015. I've used it a grand total of 8 times, and 3 of those times were, like, because other people were in the room and they couldn't all fit in front of my laptop. I have a 2014 MacBook now. The 2006 one only lasted for the 8 years. But I still record on the internal mic, and now I have a pillow fort on my bed. I'm laying down on my bed and I've got pillows on three sides and I'm good to go.
Do you still lie on your stomach?
I do. Sometimes I shift and I lay on my side.
I can't. But you heard it here first, folks. Rena Jenkins records all of her podfic lying on her stomach into an internal MacBook microphone.
You have to be comfy when you're going to do it. Otherwise, like, what's the point? I did the idea of taking a shoebox and lining it with, like, you know, felt or foam or something, and then using your cell phone as a mic, like, for on the go, I think is very clever. But I have never built one of those boxes. I think in a situation like that, I would just be like, yep, pillow fort, and I'm recording on my phone. Because I have done things like, we were on vacation one time, and we were in Disney, and my sisters and my dad were running the half marathon. So they got up at 4 in the morning, and I got up because the lights were on. And then they left the room. So I recorded some podfic on my phone in a bed in the hotel room at Disney. So, like, that's sort of, you know. But yeah, pillow fort and just go is absolutely my jam. People are like, I have a closet, I have a setup, I have a chair, I have a box, I have a pop filter. That sounds like so much effort.
So, like, you know, when people are like, you don't need fancy equipment, and, like, lower your standards and don't be so picky, Rena Jenkins, internal MacBook microphone, pillow fort lying on her bed, the end.
I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Like, there was a post going around, I want to say 2 years ago, maybe not quite that long ago, about someone being like, I feel like they set the bar for entry too high. You have to have equipment and you have to have standards. You don't have to have equipment. You don't have to have standards. You don't have to have shit except a desire to read out loud to an empty room.
Anybody who thinks that clearly has gotten a wildly skewed view and is, like, hanging out with the wrong people, because seriously, like, no.
I mean, I can barely remember to plug, like, because I have a USB mic. And it's a cute little travel thing, and it was like $30 on Amazon, and it records fairly decent audio, but I'd have to remember to plug it in.
And that's too much effort.
Just turn it on and go. Like, the major change has been I moved from a couch to I moved to my bed.
Well, yeah, because you don't live at your mom's place anymore. You have your own apartment.
I do not. I have my own apartment. I am an adult. You too can be an adult.
Yeah.
And I am very fortunate that my roommates are also fannish people, because the way our apartment is set up, if you don't close the door to my room fully, you can get some sound leakage. And there's been a couple times where, like, I think it was ITPE 2017, I was recording something. It was a TimCon story. I think it was something, News at 11, something like that. It was Tim and Con where, like, they got caught in a closet changing costumes. And then in order to throw off the trail, they told Vicky Vale that they were making out. And Con's like, you mean Batman thinks we have sex? And one of my roommates, I hadn't closed the door, one of my roommates walked through the hallway just as I said that line. And then later that night when we were having dinner, and it was like, I'm really glad that you're also a famous person and that this isn't awkward at all.
So I actually have a story about that. I wonder if I hope I still have this outtake somewhere. I was recording. So in my apartment a couple apartments ago, my first roommate that I ever lived with, I have only ever lived with Fannish roommates.
Okay.
Fannish of various types, but except for the first roommate I ever lived with, who me and my friends generally refer to. He has a name, but we just call him the most boring dude in the world.
Excellent. Okay.
He had, like, no hobbies or interests or anything. He was into, like, running, but, like, not, like, into it. Like, he just, like, went for a run around the lake every day. And, like, in the year he lived with me, he never talked on the phone with anybody except his mom, and he never had anybody over to our apartment, and he never did anybody except for study, anything except for study for the GRE and watch SNL and 30 Rock reruns in his apartment.
That just sounds exhausting.
He was seriously the most boring human imaginable. Anyway, but he was not fannish. And I was recording at the time. My recording setup was a USB microphone recorded on my desktop computer, which was in our living room, which was the room that you opened the front door into.
Oh.
So, at one point, I was sitting in front of the TV on my desktop computer in our living room, recording very explicit Wincest fic. And he opens, he gets home from work and, like, walks in while I'm, like, literally talking about, like, penetrative gay incest sex. And I just, like, I, like, without a beat, I just, like, turn around and go, oh, hi, Ben. Because, like, I'm me, so I'm not self-conscious about it, but he was just like, hi, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, just recording some porn. And he was like, okay.
Oh, that's great.
But, like, yeah, no, I actually not infrequently have recorded podfic at my office. Actually, you have also recorded podfic at my office.
I have. You should check it out. It's a Jupiter Ascending Guardians of the Galaxy podfic.
Yes, yes. That was recorded in the slash conference room at Hipster Law Firm. And because I do have one of the previously mentioned recording boxes, and I have a internal storage
mic?
Microphone. Yeah, I just bring those into my office because I don't have, after the hipster lawyers have gone home, like, you know, our office is real empty and quiet, and I can just set up my recording box in the conference room and prop it up with a bunch of law textbooks and record to my heart's content without my dog barking or roommates, you know, coming in or making sounds or anything. So, yeah.
I've recorded a couple things in my office for ITPE gifts because I usually get the short stick as far as like Black Friday and Christmas Eve shifts. But the audio quality, like, just, I think it's just because I'm doing it directly into my phone and not taking precautions like a soundbox. Sometimes it picks up a lot of, like, this is the server noise. And you can definitely tell. But, like, hey, care less. The emotions are there. Listen to it or don't, and it's not my, you know, concern anymore. What is a, I guess this kind of ties in with the things you might have failed out of or projects that don't really move you anymore. But what's, like, a goal project for you? Something maybe it's been on the back burner or, like, you know, one day I'm going to sit everyone down and do a massive thing. Like, what's a goal project for you?
Ah, I have a perfect answer for this. I still want to do a multi-voice podfic of Suits, but it's in, like, the title is written in, like, leet speak, so it's, like, 5U1T5. And it's a Suits fic that's not actually an AU, really. I mean, it, like, it's kind of an AU, but they're still, like, they still have, like, the setup in the show, right? They're still, like, lawyers and are, like, the,
okay,
the have the whole setup. But Harvey and Mike are both secretly in fandom. And and so Mike is, like, or Harvey is, like, an old school, like, original series Trek fan. Like, an old school, like, Kirk Spock shipper.
Oh, wow. And
who's been, like, writing, like, Kirk Spock fic since, like, ye olden, like, fanzine days. And Mike is, like, a new school, like, AOS, like, movies Kirk Spock shipper. and they basically get into, like, kind of, like, a feud online. And, like, kind of, like, start, like, sniping at each other and stuff. But then they, like, kind of become, end up becoming kind of, like, fandom friends. But, like, they both, like, vaguely talk about, like, stuff about, like, their job and everything. And, like, Mike rants about his, like, asshole boss. And, like, and Harvey talks about his, like, snot-nosed, like, associate.
Darcy, shush.
And, like, both of them basically, like, give each other advice about dealing with each other without realizing that it's, like, who they're, that it's, like,
oh.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. And a ton of...
That sounds like so much fun.
And a ton of the fic, because it's set in fandom, is told over, like, live journal posts and comment threads and, like, G-chat transcripts and stuff.
Okay.
And so I want to do a whole multi-voice cast for it. And I started planning it a couple of times, I think with Lattice Frames, but, like, we've just never gotten around to doing it. So I still really want to do that one.
That sounds really cool. One of the first, or the first story that I recorded from Paper Faith, who at the time was going by Faith Unbreakable,
mm-hmm.
is called Myself and You, and it's a Buffy SGA crossover fic where Buffy falls through a portal, lands in Pegasus Galaxy, and gets sucked up as a runner.
That sounds like a classic you fic.
It was genius. And at the time, it was like a 2-hour story, but like my recording style has changed. And then like 2 years ago, Paper Faith did a rewrite of it, so it's significantly longer. It's like, look, this is my more well-developed writing style, and also here's, like, backstory and stuff like that. And at the time, I was thinking, maybe I'll record it just, you know, for funds. But now I think I want to make it my 10-year story, so that it sort of bookends, like, and shows how much I've changed as a reader. So
I love that. I actually have another back burner project like that that I want to do. So the first podfic that I ever released was not actually the first podfic that I started recording.
Okay.
The first podfic that I started recording, I was recording in a program that made edit as you go on Windows a little easier. So I was recording it on like a like headset microphone, like edit as you go. And I started recording it, and I only recorded the first half, and I still have the audio for the first half of the fic. And the thing about it is that it's a figure skating RPF fic that is an alternate, it's like a woke up in a different universe fic.
Ooh.
And so Evan Lysacek like wakes up in a different universe where he's like engaged to Johnny Weir, and he's like, what the shit is going on? But and that's the start of the fic is him waking up in a different universe. And I recorded the first half of the fic, and the last bit that I recorded ends when he goes to sleep right before he wakes up back in his own universe. And then like the second like half of the fic is when he wakes up back in his own universe. And so I recorded this almost 10 years ago, and I kind of want to go back and finish it and record now all of the stuff in, like, my current podficky, like, setup and style and everything. All the stuff where he's woken back up in his own universe and is, like, dealing with the fallout of things.
That's so cool!
Yeah!
You can use and the like, audio like, change as, like...
Yeah, exactly, because then there's, like, a reason for it, and I can, you know, for, like, the change in, like, audio quality and sound and style and everything. And so I kind of want to go back and finish it and then like release it as one podfic and be like, yeah. And I think I might do, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that for my 10 year anniversary.
It's coming up next year for both of us.
It's almost exactly a year from now because my first podfic was posted in September of 2010.
Sweet. August 11th, 2010.
Yeah, so maybe I'll do that next year. I'll finish that up and do that. I think that's a really
cool idea.
Yeah, yeah. The timing on how much I finished back then, where I stopped, just worked out that I can do that now, and I think that will be really cool.
And I love too that it's like it's a time capsule, right?
Right.
This is such a very snapshot of who I am as a person, who I am as a consumer of fanworks, snapshot of maybe like what the fandom looked like at the time. It's a very time capsule medium in a way that maybe fic doesn't ring to me just because like language styles change and things like that. And you can tell, I mean, you can definitely tell the difference between like an SGA fic written in 2010 and an SGA fic written in this year. But like, you know, from content and sort of the language that you use to talk about John and Rodney, but like the time capsule-ness of here's who I was when I did this.
Right. Right. I mean, that was, I started recording that. I mean, first of all, it's a figure skating RPF fic about Evan Lysacek and Johnny Weir. So like that alone is like pretty like throwback. Cause that's, I recorded that like 6 months after Evan Lysacek won his gold medal.
Oh, wow.
Like now everybody knows Johnny Weir as that like flamboyant Hunger Games style like sports commentator on NBC, and Evan Lysacek is a mere blip on the pop cultural radar, and everybody's like, who?
But at the time,
yeah, the only time he ever shows up in pop culture stuff is when Johnny Weir trolls him on Instagram by posting him for his like Man Crush Monday or whatever, which he has done multiple times. The only person in 2019 who still cares about Evan Lysacek is Johnny Weir. But that's true. So like it's wild to kind of like go back to this. It's the type of thing that's like super interesting. So I also have like a very ambitious like vidding project for Vid Big Bang next year planned that involves a lot of my like personal fanish history and like kind of like the idea of like growing and aging and how that like changes us and yeah, a lot of my personal history in that for Vid Big Bang next year too. So I think next year is going to be a sort of interesting introspective navel gazy fan works year for me. We'll see.
I really love the idea that like I could get hit by a bus tomorrow and there is this preserved, shared version of myself that's like, as long as Potica Productions is up, this version of me is out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here are the things I cared about. Here is the way that I chose to express that care. Here are the interactions, that, like the community I built for this. I don't know. I really love the idea of sort of this living, growing time capsule.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it's.
I also like the idea that, you know, you constantly pile new things on, so all the old shit's at the bottom and no one goes looking for it.
Right. Right. Just cover up all that old shit where my audio quality sucked and, you know, nobody has to look at that.
Yes. And move on with their lives.
Nobody has to look at that. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, should we look at some questions that people had for us?
Yes. I think that would be a joy because you did ask Twitter. And Twitter did, and also the Discord.
So, Crash, one of my roommates, wants to know, what's a green flag in Podfic, i.e. something that makes you more likely to listen or consider listening?
I mean, I am kind of mono-fanish right now as far as, like, actively only consuming stuff that I'm already invested in the canon. But for a long time, it was really just, was this posted within the last 12 hours? Okay, put it in my face. You know?
Yeah.
When I still hung out, like, in the comments on Amplethicathon.com, and, like, that was, you know, I typed the letter A, and that's what autofilled, not Archive of Our Own. It autofilled as Amplethicathon.
Right.
And it was very much, do I, like, it's not a cover art thing. It's not really, it wasn't really a tag thing. It was very much a, is this new?
Yeah. And I think we kind of talked about this, too, with the way that, like, Podfic fandom has gotten bigger and it's a lot easier to just listen to Podfic that's basically along the same lines as the fic that you read, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think for me, the honest answer is that it's more or less, you know, I look for Podfic that's basically the same as the fic that I'm reading. I look on AO3, I look for the same tags and summaries and stuff that I look for when I'm looking for fic. Like, maybe I'm more likely, if two things are even, I'm more likely to click on, like, a pod figure that I know where I really like their reading style. But, you know, more or less something that's more, like, more likely to make me click on it is something that's more to my taste fic-wise, you know?
Yeah. I mean, also, if I'm looking on AO3, like, number of kudos that it has will actually make me not click on it this sounds like very dumb, but I'm the kind of person who, like, everybody else already likes it. Well, I'm not going to. like, I did that with Good Omens, actually. Like, I put off watching it for, like, 4 weeks because everyone else is already talking about it. I'm not going to. And it was very dumb because I just denied myself, like, a thing that I actually enjoy.
Right. I was going to say, like, that fandom is so up your alley.
I know. And, like, I enjoy the book and I did enjoy the show, but I dug my heels in for a while because, like, everyone else is already doing it. I'm not going to.
So you like to click on things that don't have a lot of kudos or hits already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Legit.
If it's the top 10, I'm probably going to be like, nope, other direction. I don't know.
Miss Mandy wants to know, what was the hardest project you've worked on together and why was it so difficult? What is the hardest project we've worked on together? Because we have done a lot of things together over the years.
That are big and collaborative. I'm going to say, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I feel like the hardest time I gave you on a project was Screaming Down the Starlit Sky. Because A, fan noises, God. And B, the cover arts. I kept sending stuff back to you.
I mean, first of all, that was just like 12 million years long. Is that? That's not quite as long as Queen's Gambit, right? But
no.
It like felt longer because it was in a much shorter period of time.
And it was a lot of individual stories. It wasn't one continuous single work. So it was a lot more effort on your part for cover arts.
Yeah, I was like, there was a period of time where I was basically doing like nothing, but just like with all of my free time, except listening to Screaming Down the Starlit Sky. Like, which was also a particularly like, that's one of those things where I was like, I love Marissa and I will beta not anything, but almost anything for her. But like, vampires is very much like her thing and not necessarily my thing. I don't really like mind them, but it's not like a trope that I seek out. And she was like, will you beta 36 hours of vampire fic in a fandom that you technically used to be in but haven't been in for many years? And I was like, yeah, sure, but only because I love you.
I really appreciate the time that you've put in on my behalf. I really do.
I think Night Tracer did some of the baiting on that just because there was so much in such a short period of time.
It was, yeah.
But that one also, like, the other thing about that is because, like, I was very much first wave bandom, so I was into bandom from, like...
Oh, yeah, I came in at the end of that.
Right. Well, you were very second wave. Like, I came in first wave, and you came in, like, kind of late in second wave, too, because I was, like, in... back when, like, Panic was, like, Panic 2.0, and they were, like, babies, and,
Right. I mean, I had, like, a whole RPF freakout. Like, I'm never gonna listen to RPF things. And then Panica and, like, there were, like, seven people who were producing a American Idol 8 and fandom podfic, and I was like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm listening to this now. But I definitely had a moment where I wrote down the words, I don't consume RPF because it's too much for me.
Yeah.
I've grown as a person since then.
You have. I'm very proud. But like, I more or less failed out of fandom in like 2009. So like, before I even got into podfic fandom. So like, when Marissa was like, "Yo, it's like, what was that? Was that for Podfic Big Bang 2013?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because I was basically out of fandom by the end of 14. Yeah.
So like, this was like 4 years, a full like 4 years after I'd like already failed out of this fandom. So, like, I knew who all the people were, but I wasn't in it anymore. And,
Oh, no, 2012.
Okay, 2012. Yeah. But I'd been out of the fandom for, like, several years already. And, yeah. And it was definitely one of those things where, like, Marissa and I have a lot of crossover with our tastes, but, like, it's definitely, there's a Venn diagram. And that's one of those things that's, like, a lot further on her side of the Venn diagram than mine. And so, yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah.
And you know what? I am really happy with how that cover art came out, but like, man, that was a lot of work.
It was, yeah.
I had to change all of the text because like, it was like 13 fix or something.
Individual titles, yeah.
Yeah. So I had to like change the text for every individual title.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably the hardest project that we worked on together. I think.
Can we count the ITPE podfic that I edited? Just because editing is hard.
Which one did you edit for me?
It was a Life with Derek one. It was me, and then I think also somebody else also edited it. And like the thing I remember was that my version was like a good 2 minutes longer than their version because I left in like empty space.
No, yeah, the dog days are over. Right. My pod together that I did with Jaeger Mighty, with Moira Riordan, for Life with Derek. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Just like editing in general is hard.
It is. Editing other people's stuff is like really interesting. You've edited a bunch of like multi-voice stuff that like we've recorded that I've been involved in at Podfication.
Yes.
Basically, like, editing sucks, y'all.
It really does. But, like, for all that we've been, like, interacting with each other and collaborating on overall projects, we really haven't done a lot of, like, compared to the scope of what we've both produced, I feel like we haven't done a lot of things that are both of our voices at the same time in the same work, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely appeared briefly as Yoda in Snapchats from Coruscant.
Yes.
And,
I mean, we did the Waffleverse.
Yeah, right. We did Waffleverse together. Yeah. Yeah, we did Waffleverse together. But for Xandopod and I did the editing on that one. And
yeah,
you just, like, sent us your files. And
I just,
one of
right,
them.
Yeah.
That was a ludicrously hard project, and the hard part of it had nothing to do with patching in your voice.
So in conclusion, we have done a lot of things, and they're all hard. Appreciate us.
The irony of that original Indeterminate Place UK is that that was supposed to be a practice run for us recording Scions together, which we then never did until you just recorded it alone for me for ITPE like 8 years later.
It really, like, without external deadlines, we need the external deadlines.
I know, they're great. It's helpful. And that would have been the biggest thing that we would have ever done. We really should do something together that's just like the two of us. Because I think we really do tend to do just like a lot of short stuff and multi-voice, yeah, like big group stuff.
Yeah.
And then obviously we have a close like, you know, beta relationship. And, you know, I've made a lot of cover art for you over the years.
Oh, absolutely. I can list like... There are absolutely multiple covers where I was like, I was inspired by this cover that Bess did. So here is my interpretation where I try and fail in PowerPoint. Like, it is very much, you can track, like, I feel like we both had like this very influential, like, shaping of who I am as a person now, as far as like how I use music and how I use text on cover art and like a lot of the stuff that is sort of how I present my work to the world now. Thanks.
I'm so honored. Yeah, by the way, if you didn't know, all of Marissa's covers are made in fucking PowerPoint. It drives me nuts. It's crazy.
I do use PixArt now, so some of them are done on my phone. But the vast majority are done in PowerPoint. Or you can do a lot of crazy stuff in PowerPoint. You don't need to invest in a like expensive editing program, friends.
You know what? You make it work, Marissa. It's not ideal, but you make it work. I admire that about you.
I'm digging my heels in on this.
All right. So kind of along the same lines, Yui wants to know, wants us to tell them about our pros and cons of collaborating with a close friend.
Kind of feel like we covered a lot of that. Like, whether it's disagreeing on pronunciation.
It is really nice that, like, I'm a very blunt person and I know that Marissa can take it. So I'm not afraid to just, like, straight up tell her, like, Marissa, you are not allowed to use this much music at the beginning of the podfic. Like, no, I'm putting my foot down. Which, like, if I didn't know somebody very well, like, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable just straight up telling them that, you know? I'd have to, like, soften a lot of my stuff. So I appreciate that I don't have to soften any of my words or critiques when I'm baiting your stuff.
Yeah, I think it helps too, as like, this is a friend who I know will also, for the most part, with the exception of Screaming at the Starlit Sky, who will also care about the story that I'm, like, excited about. So having that, like, you're beta-ing, but now we can kind of chat in the comments about why this is so emotionally, you know, distressing or whatever.
Right.
Knowing that there's a sounding board there is a definite pro.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely. I don't know if there are cons to working with Marissa. I've definitely run into problems working with other people who I'm good friends with who, like, for whatever reason, like, our styles on something just didn't, like, match up in some way. But, I mean, one of the reasons that Marissa and I have had such a successful and long, you know, fanish career of working together on so many things is because we do work so well together. So there aren't a lot of, I can't think of a lot of cons of whenever I've collaborated with you. Like, even when I want to, like, you know, strangle you on, like, you know, a lot of, like, ridiculous things where I'm like, oh my God, Marissa, why? Like, I don't, you know, like, there's just not a lot of, like, cons there, you know?
Having said that out loud, where other people will eventually hear that, what if I asked you to beta listen to Devil's Backbone?
I mean, yeah, you know I will.
I feel like, see, this is the kind of thing where I trust that you'll give me very, like, yes, this is a direction you want to continue with your style choices here, or, like, no, you don't need to add sound effects to all of these things because as fun as it looks in GarageBand, it's difficult as a listener. But also, like, hey, have you considered putting a different emotional twist on things? Like, you've given me some really amazing beta listening notes for stuff. So, like, I trust that I can shove my sort of naked and mostly half-formed version of this podfic at you and that it'll come back, like, with, I don't know, clothes.
Yeah, like, I know it is interesting to, like, to hear things from your interpretation and be able to, like, listen to it and be like, you know, knowing that you do record as you go and you don't, like, spend a lot of time, like, thinking about takes or whatever. Because I know there are other podfickers who do think a lot more about those things. And so it is, I do feel really comfortable being like, do you want to maybe reconsider, like, the emotion that you read this scene with or whatever? Because yeah. I know that that's just the scene, the way that you got through that scene without any mistakes.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a thing. Like, it's usually, you know, first read is the read that goes out there, unless I'm, like, obviously stumbling through a pronunciation or something, and then I redo the line. But yeah, stuff where it's, hey, you missed the emotional, like, punch of this moment.
Right.
Because I am a you-only-record-once person. But, like, if you're telling me this is a thing that really stood out for missing the mark, and you know that I'm a you-only-record-once person. So, like, if you're pointing it out to me, I trust that it's something that's really needs to be addressed. Yeah. So I guess that's about the pro and a con, because then it means I have to go back and do the thing.
Yeah, but it'll make the final product better.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Caustic Artistry wants to know how to avoid creative burnout in general and or with gigantic works like Queen's Gambit, for example. Speaking of Queen's Gambit.
I mean, absolutely the thing that works for me as far as having a, like, having you on my team, basically, as the beta listener, is that I can be excited in your direction about it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what was very helpful too is that one of my roommates, formerly DF, is maybe not a Star Wars person, but Osmosis, because she has sat on the couch while I've watched 5 episodes of Rebels in a row. Mm-hmm. So I could be like, hey, it's dinner time. You're having your, you know, your avocado toast, and I'm talking about how my heart is breaking. And, and we could just both be like, wow, you have found the person who also hates all joy, just like you do. But having someone to, like, talk about the story as you go, so that it's not just you stewing in your own feelings. That was really helpful to me, to be like, I know there's someone else out there who's also in this boat with me at the same time.
Right. I mean, completely for me, the answer is similarly, absolutely social connections with people. I need to scream with like-minded people about the feelings that I am feeling about the project that I am working on. And that is absolutely a huge key part of how to avoid burnout. The other thing is not overcommitting yourself.
Mm.
which I particularly have a big problem with as somebody who does not just podficking, but modding and vidding and cosplay. And so I definitely have a tendency to overcommit myself with things, and I need to remember what realistically I can actually do and actually finish. And yeah, that's definitely a key thing for me personally. But yeah, just like having cheerleaders and having people that you can, like-minded people that will squee with you and be excited with you and help you like get excited about the thing to avoid just like getting all up in your own bogged down feelings about it.
Yeah. Having someone else to bounce off of. Like, I think you're also kind of the reason why I'm okay now with posting some longer stuff without a beta listener, because it's like, all right, here's the stuff that Bess was looking for, and here are the things like maybe I was unsure about. But like basically when I'm like, hey, can you please do the thing? It's because I want someone else to, like, to sound completely corny, but I want someone else to go on that journey with me, so I'm not just like dragging myself through the story.
Sure. That totally makes sense. And sometimes there are things where you're like, I don't necessarily need anyone else. Like, I went on this journey and now I'm done.
Exactly. Also, to avoid burnout, I don't know if it's burnout, but like, just don't tell people you're doing things. And then when it gets posted, it's like a joy. It's a pleasant surprise. And no one's expecting shit from you. Because like, if I say like, oh yeah, I'm working on this project now, then I will dig my heels in and be like, well, I don't have to do it right now. Whereas if I'm just like motivating myself a little bit, and then I get to drop it and be like, look at this cool thing I did. Everyone be excited. Like, three people will probably be excited, you know?
Totally.
And that's a surprise for them. And then this way, it's not like you're held to a standard. It's only my own standards, which are flexible. I don't know if that's good advice. But, like, I've definitely done that a lot.
I think it is. I totally think that is. I mean, I definitely think I have made the mistake of telling people that I am working on a thing and then absolutely never finished it. And it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's definitely smart. Smarter than me. Dr. Fumbles wants to know, aw, how both of you are so nice. You have always helped out with modding questions, and Rena has done a bunch of cover art spur of the moment for me. How wide do you like helping out the community?
I will let you take that, and then I will have like an emotionally sappy moment.
I mean, like, I think for me, it's a matter of, so I have like kind of a nice answer and kind of a mean answer for this. And the nice answer is that I love, I don't know, I just like sharing my knowledge with people. Like, that's a thing that like brings me joy. And the kind of mean answer is that I hate incompetence, and I don't like seeing things done not well. And so if I can offer help in order to make things in my community done to a higher level of competence, then that will help make me not cringe.
I'm totally okay with that. No, that is exactly how our friendship started. It was an awful mess of a moment on my cover art, and then it was a beautiful, glorious moment, and then it was like, now you can talk about feelings and shit, but first, you had to do it wrong. And I'm okay with that. I have grown as an artist.
I just like seeing things done correctly, okay? And making things pretty and making them done well. And if I can help things be done well, then I will absolutely try and do that so that I will not have to suffer through incompetence.
So, like, Potvic, I talked about this a little bit earlier in our exchange about how this is like the longest running hobby, like this is the longest running thing that I've done consistently in a way that let me really contribute. And I just, Podfic is, and the Podfic community is basically the reason I am where I am today, between living in the city in my own apartment because of a friend I met through Podfic who introduced me to another friend who's Spanish, who got me into this apartment, to like, having so many people across not only America, but like literally across the globe that if there was an emergency, I could count on. Like, Celebration in April, our flight almost didn't leave. And because of Podfic as my sort of gateway into fandom, we were able, we didn't ultimately didn't need it, but like four people were basically saying, hey, if you as a decent human being need to sleep on a couch, mine is available. Here is a support network for you. So like when I think about that as being sort of this wonderful community that Podvic has been the reason that I know these wonderful people, I want to just make sure that everyone, like, I want to be pulling my weight in making that just as much of an amazing experience for everybody else. I don't know. It sounds dumb.
No!
But there are so many amazing people that I've met because of this that I want to be equally as, like, living up to that.
I mean, that's totally, like, that is the feeling I get from, like, fandom in general, right? It's like, this is, like, my community and my social circle that spans the entire world, and I want to help make everybody's stuff better, you know? Like,
yeah,
I want to help contribute to that in this way.
When you first got me onto Twitter, I had a phone with actual keys still, and I didn't have enough data to be like, let's use the Twitter webpage. I was getting it all as text alerts. And I don't remember exactly why, but one of my sisters thought I was texting someone named Trevor every time I was doing Twitter. And it became this ongoing joke of every single person that I interacted with on Twitter was Trevor. I knew a lot of Trevors. But like this idea that this is my whole friend group. They're stuck in my pocket. I've never met you in person, but I've spent 30 hours listening to you tell me about your favorite kinds of porn. Like, I can call you Trevor.
That's amazing. I mean, like, yeah. And like now since then, like both of us have like stayed at each other's houses. I mean,
yes,
you're staying with me in like a little over a month for Podvacation again. Like,
I have favorite places in Minneapolis because you've introduced them to me. I can say I've been, like, at the time, that was the most westward I'd ever been because I was coming to Podvacation.
Yeah, I drove you across the Mississippi River for the first time.
Just like, there's a lot of firsts here.
Yeah. And it's really nice now that, like, because of the Podfic community, between, you know, all the Podficers that I know in NYC, I'm able to stay with people who are not my family members when I'm in New York, which is awesome. I mean, not that I don't love my, like, aunts and stuff, but it's nice that I don't have to, like, get up when she has to leave for work at 7:30 in the morning, you know, yes. If I'm sleeping on her couch.
So, yeah, I think just, like, because my sort of finding fandom on the internet experience was delayed in life, right? And I came into Podfic fandom the same time I did, within months of the internet as a, like, a fanish repository. Like, it was a very moment for me. And sort of the people I've met through Podfic and, like, that community has grown as, like the people I've met have been there sort of day one for me, basically. So I want to live up to that standard of everybody else being incredibly decent human beings, and I want to be that person too.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Not to say that we don't have assholes, because I could be an asshole, yeah. But like...
We already know I'm an asshole. But I like that we could be assholes together sometimes.
Yes, very much so.
All right. Aww. And on that note, I think, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Behind the Pod. I'm Bess, aka Bessie Boo.
I'm Marissa, Raina Jenkins.
And we'll see you on the internet.
Bye-bye.
This was episode one of the first series of Behind the Pod. Thank you to Bess and Marissa for their segment.
If you'd like to leave a written comment or talk back for the creators, you can do so on the AO3 post, which can be found at ao3.org/users/behindthepod, or on the Dreamwidth discussion post, found at bethepod.dreamwidth.org.
If you'd like to listen to the rest of the series, you can find it all on our AO3 page. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day.